morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is wonderful to see all of you. Would you please sign the ritual of friendship pad, and maybe you can pass it down your pew. I think there might be one pew that can pass. Oh, two pews can pass it down. We'd like to thank Rick for taking all that sugar and putting it all into his car on Monday and taking it over there. I'm sure Christian neighbors appreciated it too. Next Sunday, you'll get an order form for poinsettias.
No, they have one today
too. Oh, is there one today? Oh, I didn't see one. Oh, okay. And then they're due next Sunday.
I'll explain it because there's so many people. I talked to the lady yesterday and she wants the initial call on the 10th, but I can call her in the following week that they have. So I didn't want to tell people they didn't have to be here till the 15th because then they wouldn't give them the
Okay, so.
Okay,
so I'll have to get a form afterward. I was planning on doing this and not having a mistake, but it didn't happen. Okay, we need help setting up tables in Fellowship Hall after the service.
That would be you.
Well, Harris might be able to open up a leg or two. The church will be open from 10 until 2 on Friday, so you can bring your baked goods and things for the bazaar. Keep baking those pies, cookies, breads, all that good stuff for the bake sale. Now, you'll be happy to know I'm not baking anything, so you don't have to be afraid. Something else we're in desperate need of, if you have extra plastic grocery bags, we could use them for the bazaar. Workers need to be at church on Saturday morning no later than 8:45. That will give you a chance to get to your station when the crowds come rolling in. You can find your December prayer list of names that you'd like to put on in the back. Are there any other announcements? Okay, the bell ringer. Oh, you have an announcement.
Joyce and concerns.
Oh, Joyce. This is something else. When you have a joy or concern, you're going to have to speak loudly. I remember years ago we used to take the mic around because you people are talking and I'm going like this, but I'm not hearing one word. Do we have any joys or concerns? Oh, Rick.
Joy is it's our son's 43rd birthday today, our baby. And our concern is Sherry has her hip surgery on Thursday this week. So, we want some prayers for that.
Now, will that be just one night in the hospital? Never can tell. They do miracles these days. Also, Harvey called this morning a while ago, and Joanne was on her way to the hospital. The ambulance was.
I don't know if it was an ambulance.
Oh, but she was going to the hospital. Rachel? Yeah, but they're bringing food for the family. Oh, they weren't hunting. Oh, they weren't bringing any deer with them. Oh, okay. Now we'll have the bell. I got to move that list so I can keep track. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promises I have made.
To you, O Lord, we lift up our souls. In you, O God, we trust.
The one who is coming will show us the path of steadfast love and faithfulness. Teach us your ways, O God of our salvation. We live in the light of hope as we await the coming of the Lord. Let's continue with the opening prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, you hold us safe and sure in your magnificent hand. In your infinite grace and mercy, you have sustained us and called us your own. We praise you, O Lord. In Christ we pray. Amen. Our first hymn is found on 203, Hail to the Lord's Anointed.
He calls to break our flesh. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, back where we live, it looks like Christmas. We had about 3 inches of snow on the ground, and I knew just by the weather forecast and what they were saying this morning that you probably had not received much, if any, snow. So as we made our way this way, the snow was less and less, but it was quite a ways this side of Hopkins before we ran out of snow. And there was snow on the road, too. It was pretty slushy, and I'm glad we didn't have to drive in that all the way. So December started out where I live as wintry, and I guess I heard you talking up north. They're catching more snow. So it's good to be here, and I'm glad the weather cooperated. I think this is one of the smallest crowds we've had in over 8 years. There might have been a Sunday like this, I don't know, but not many. So I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad I'm here. I do want to invite you to a time of silent prayer. Our pastoral prayer will follow. We'll share the Lord's Prayer together, and then we'll sing from the hymnal, the chorus, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. It's number 204. So let's be in an attitude of prayer together. Lord God, once again, we affirm with the psalmist, this is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing and glad in it. We're grateful that we can gather in this place and offer our worship to you. We're reminded anew of the promise where two or three or more are gathered in your name, that you are present among them. And so we are thankful that you are present here with us in our worship service. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for family and friends, for those we love and those who love us. We thank you for that measure of strength we experience in our lives. We thank you for opportunities to work and serve. We thank you for the many gifts that you have given to us. We thank you most for your Son, Jesus, that receiving him into our lives has changed us and made us into different people. We thank you for that change and that continuing change as you work your grace and mercy in our lives. We ask for forgiveness for our sins and failures. We pray for grace and strength to live more and more in harmony with your word and your will. We thank you that you are a God who cares about people, and you care about those we have spoken of this day in our hearts as well with our voices. Thank you for answers to prayer, and we pray that those we lift to you this day might receive grace and mercy, healing and strength, a measure of your grace and presence that will sustain them. We offer prayers for our world. We pray for peace. We pray for our nation and our leaders, that you might use them for your purpose and your will in our nation and our world. We offer prayers for your church. We pray for that larger church that includes many, many different churches and denominations. We pray for the churches here in Saugatuck and Douglas and the surrounding area, that you might bless them and use us together to share your love and to help people and invite people to know you through your Son, Jesus. We pray for Saugatuck UMC, this community of faith. We offer prayers for brothers and sisters who are not able to be here this day. We pray for this service and pray that in this time together we might indeed sense your presence, hear that word that we need from you. Hear us now as we offer the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Scripture reading today is Malachi 3, 1 to 4, found on page 842 of your Pew Bible. Behold, I send my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, till they present right offerings to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. Continue with Luke 1:68-79, which is found in the hymnal on page 208. We'll be reading only. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to set the chosen people free. The Lord has raised up for us a mighty Savior from the house of David. Through the holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our forebears, and to remember the holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship without fear, holy and righteous
in the Lord's sight all the days of our life.
And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way,
to give God's people knowledge of salvation and the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us,
to shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to join me now for our healing prayer. Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. This morning we pray for Lord, in your mercy. At this time, we're going to receive our offering. God, it's our prayer that you would accept the gifts that we offer to you today, that you would use these gifts and continue to use us in your service to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now we'll sing, O Come, Emmanuel, verses 1 through 4.
Come the wisdom from
time ago, when we were announcing my retirement, I was telling you about some old trees, one in particular along the road from our house, the church. There was an old tree, and for me, that was an image of myself. And I said, somebody ought to cut that tree down. And my thought was, when that tree comes down, it's certainly time for me to retire. And as we were coming to work, or to church this morning, lo and behold, that tree had tumbled down. I don't know if it was the wind this week or the snow, but I felt like it was a confirmation of my decision that it was the right time for me. Our scripture this morning is found in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 3. This is a well-known passage. I don't know how many times over the years I've used this scripture in a funeral setting, but for me it goes back a long time. Back, I don't know how old I was, still in grade school, and I believe it was Mrs. Gears who had a Bible study class for elementary kids, and I went to that. I think my brother Dennis, some of my friends went to it, and we were given a challenge to memorize a verse. And a friend of mine, I don't remember who that was either, he was given John 14, 1, 2, and 3 to memorize. And so I was trying to teach him, help him learn the verse, to memorize it. As a result, I memorized the verse. And honestly, I cannot tell you what the verse was that I was supposed to memorize. I assume I memorized it, but I've forgotten it. But the nature of John 14, it's one that I think if you can't say the words, you'll recall them as they're shared. Now, the problem that I found over the years is there are so many different translations of the Bible, and the words are a little different in every translation, and they kind of get mumbled up in my mind. So I'm going to try to say the words without actually looking at the scripture. I've got it open here, and I did look at it earlier. Of course, back when I was a boy, it was the old King James. So I've probably got a blend of those now, those translations. Jesus was talking to his disciples. He was trying to prepare them for what was about to happen in Jerusalem, his death on the cross and his burial and eventually his resurrection. And he said to them, "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again that you may be where I am also." Verse 3, "I will come again so that you may be where I am also." Heavenly Father, as we share together this morning, it's our prayer that we might be reminded in our spirits and our hearts that your Son who came is coming again. We pray in his name. Amen. I came across this story about George Tulloch. You may know that George Tulloch was a man who led an expedition, I think it was in the 1990s, to try and discover the Titanic. Titanic sunk in 1912. And he and his crew were able to locate the ship, and they recovered a number of artifacts. Before they left, they made an effort to raise a piece of iron that was a part of the Titanic. It was estimated to weigh about 20 tons. And they were lifting it towards the surface, and I guess because of a storm, but anyway, the ropes broke, and what they were trying to lift fell back into the ocean. So Tulloch and his crew, they'd run out of time, and they had to leave. But before they left, they did something unusual. He went back into the deep, and with the robotic arm of the submarine that they were using, he attached a strip of metal to a section of the hull, and on that piece of metal, he had written the words, "I will come back, George Tulloch." My understanding is he did come back. Jesus says to his disciples, "I will come back." It's a promise that he made, that Jesus made, he intends to keep. We don't know for sure how he will come back, but we know he will come back for us. I'm not sure we understand why he would come back for us, except that he loves us. And I know there are lots of ideas and opinions about his second coming, his return. But one thing for sure, he promised that he would return. And so he's coming back. We don't know when, although some claim to know when. We don't know exactly when. I remember studying about Christ's second coming when I was in college and in seminary. I remember in seminary I had this book, and in its title it was, "Jesus is Coming Back," and then it had the word "soon." Well, soon is, how do you count time? And soon, I know with little kids, you start out on a trip and you've been in the car for 10, 15 minutes and they will say, "Are we there yet?" And for us, time is like it is for those little kids in the car. It seems like a long time since Jesus left. And we wonder, why is it taking so long? It says in the Bible that of Jesus' first coming, he came in the fullness of time. Everything was ready. Everything was prepared. It was the exact moment when he should come. I have to believe that his second coming, his return, will be much the same. It will be in the fullness of time. One of the things that we may not realize or may not remember is there was a time in the church when the second coming was one of the central doctrines that was preached and talked about. In the 1800s, churches divided over the understanding of the second coming. And today, I suspect it's hardly preached about. You just don't hear many sermons about it. And yet, Christ is coming again. of his first coming, theologians call it the incarnation. They speak of God taking on human flesh and sharing human experience. In biblical language, he is Emmanuel, Redeemer, Savior, Messiah, Word made flesh, and more. We share the message this time of year that he has come. We need to be reminded, I think, sometimes that he is coming again. I had a good friend in college. I'll just give you his first name. It was Keith. And, when you're in Bible college and you're taking theology and doctrine courses, you spend, it seems like, quite a bit of time talking about the second coming and the rapture, whether it's a pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, or post-tribulation coming. Lots of discussion about it, and you think about it. And my friend, good friend Keith, who was the best man at my own wedding, he was getting married while we were still in college. And I remember him saying to me several times, he said, "You know, I want the Lord to come again, but I want him to wait until after I get married." We always laughed when he would say that. And Mary and I had a good friend. Her name was Beatrice. She went by B. And her last name was Love. She's the only person I've ever known by the name Love. Wonderful person. But she used to say to us, and this was when we knew her way, way back, she used to say that she believed the Lord was coming again and that she would never see death because Christ would come before she died. And she believed she would be raptured up, taken up to be with him, and would not experience death. And she was convinced of that, and a couple of years ago she did pass away. But I like to believe that Jesus was there in a special way when she passed. I remember the words in the psalm, "Precious in God's eyes is the death of his saints." And so when each one of his saints passes, I believe Jesus is present in a special way, which leads me to say there is the first coming of Christ, what we call the second coming of Christ, but there are the comings of Christ into our lives that are in between. They are those times when, through the Spirit, we sense his presence, and it makes a difference for us. There are times in our lives when we know God's presence in special ways. And I believe that's the presence of Jesus. Many, many years ago, I heard Robert Schuller speaking at one of his Christmas Eve services. And that's when the Crystal Cathedral was still there with all its glory and all its beauty, and Robert Schuller was saying that he had made a tradition for him to rededicate his life to Christ every year at the Christmas Eve service. At some moment, he would just bow his head and ask Christ to come anew into his heart. And I've tried to follow that example ever since. Sometime during the Christmas Eve or Christmas Advent season, or sometimes on Christmas Eve, in my own way, to invite Christ anew to come into my heart and into my life. And of course, he only comes into our hearts and lives if we invite him in. Remember someone who said, Christ is a gentleman. He knocks at the door and he waits for us to open it. He won't force his way in. And there is a picture, I believe it's down in the Sunday school room, that famous picture of Christ standing at the door, knocking. And if you look closely at that door, there's no handle on the outside. It has to be opened from the inside. And so it is with our lives. There is a coming of Christ that is personal and individual and happens more than once. A spiritual coming, if you will. I remember reading a t-shirt. It was supposed to be funny, I guess. It had to do with Jesus' coming. And it said on it, "Jesus is coming, so look busy." It's probably not very original. But the real question is, and the real thing that's important as we think about is his coming again. You know, that first coming, most people weren't prepared. They weren't looking for him. And many people didn't know he had come. And the question for us who are believers is, what will we be doing when Jesus comes? Will we be doing the work of sharing his love? Or will we, I don't know, just be caught up in the routines of life? I read this from C.S. Lewis in his Voyage of the Downtreader. It's a conversation between Lucy and Aslan the lion. Aslan the lion, of course, is the Christ figure in the story. This is how the conversation goes. Aslan says, "Don't look so sad. We will meet soon again." "Please, Aslan," said Lucy, "what do you call soon?" "I call all time soon," said Aslan, and instantly he was vanished away. We can be certain that Jesus will return. And let me say something that is so obvious, and yet I don't mean it in a humorous way. Jesus' return is closer today than it was yesterday. And it will be even closer tomorrow. He will keep his promise. He will come again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son's first coming, and we pray that we might honor and remember and celebrate that Jesus has come. We also are thankful that he has come into our hearts and lives, and we invite him anew and pray that we might experience his presence anew. And we thank you that he is coming again. He's coming again for us. Help us to live in that great hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our last hymn this morning is 221, "In the Bleak of Winter," midwinter. Thank you. Please join me for the benediction. Grant us, O Lord, that which we have said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.